stand together for Jesus once again and take our seat. Hallelujah. It's a prophetic song, and if it comes to your heart, you can sing it again. Because we are created to knock the devil on the head, per second. Hallelujah. We are not created to be begging the devil. No. That was not the kind of Jesus, the kind of church that Jesus died for. No. Absolute no. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so we started the month looking at the subject, preparing for divine encounter. We're talking about part two today. And we begin by looking at the word of God from the book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12 should be a scripture that all of us should know it by heart this year, because we've always used it almost every Sunday. Hallelujah. We're talking about the redemptive benefits. Thank you, Jesus. Let's start from verse 11 to make it clear. It said, "And I beheld." Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yes. He said, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." Verse 12 together. It says, "Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and
mercy."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lamb of God, Jesus, the Christ, Messiah, was slain to receive for us all these capsules or the redemptive benefit encapsulated in what we call Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. And we started the year by looking at them one by one. We have looked at the issue of power. We've looked at riches. We've looked at wisdom. We looked at strength. And today we are looking at honor. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Without honor, there cannot be glory. Hallelujah. Without honor, there cannot be color. When a man loses honor, color departs with it. For example, no matter how glorious somebody might have performed, maybe as a government official, if at the end of his tenure they discover that he did some wrongs and they put him in prison, the color departs. What color does a prisoner have? Hello? Doesn't have any color. So when honor departs, color departs. And when color departs, glory departs. Glory will not depart from your life in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will not be a byword in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
People will not look at you and shake their head in pity in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
According to the word of God, I said that we are the city that is set on the hill. That prophecy will come to pass in your life in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, he said, he was slain to receive for us, among many other things, honor. And you see that after honor, the next one is glory. Hallelujah. But we need to understand this fact, that man was created right from the beginning to enjoy honor. Despite the fact that the world that we are living in right now is full of horror, not honor. And where there's horror, there can be honor. I want us to also understand that as children of God, and especially as end time army or end time church, it is the wish of God, or the plan of God for us, is to enjoy honor. In the camp of the people of God, honor will be the story. But in the camp of the enemy, or in the camp of the devil, is horror. And if you look at what is happening around us right now, you will see that The earth is truly burning. The Bible said that it will burn as oven. Nations are adjusting. Some are even pretending. They are pretending as if things are working. They are coming up with all manner of policies. But the truth is that they are just managing. You see elections, you know, general elections coming up in nations and coming up with surprising results. It's not just because the government that they are trying to vote out really failed. But people are looking for a way out. They are looking for something different. Like the slogan of my country, they say change. They are looking for change. Hello? You see the pattern of election in many of the nations. And after the change, a lot of time they go from frying pan to fire. And say, oh, this is not the kind of change we are desiring. I was speaking with my sister. I was talking about living in one of the countries. And she said, we want this government to go. I said, they have not even spent up to six months there. Or barely 6 months. But they say, I want you to go. I said, hey, okay, may God have mercy. But I made her to understand that the truth is that don't wait for any government of any nation before you should be expecting a glorious day. Because the plan of God is for his people to enjoy glory. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. The darker it is in the world, the more you appreciate the light. You know, when there is light like this, if you put on your torchlight, do you appreciate it? Even if you put on your headlamp. Although the rule in students say you have to put it on during the daylight when you are still driving, isn't it? But it doesn't even have any effects that much. But when it's dark, especially in winter, 8 o'clock in the night, if something is wrong with the headlamp, then you appreciate light that time. So the darker it is, the more appreciative the light becomes. And that's the confidence that we should have, that no matter the darkness around the world, our light will shine in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, because the honor is restored. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to also understand the fact that what makes any entity or a nation or a person to function well is the presence of God. Remove the presence of God from a people, it becomes a toy. It's just like when you look at the branch of a tree. If you pluck this branch off right now, if it's a living one, and you put it on this table, even if you try to put it inside water like they normally do to give to people, it has a lifespan. It will grow gradually. You see it fading away, going until it's gone. Hallelujah. Because you have detached it from the root. You have detached it from the main branch. There is no more supply of what will make the glory to stay. The same way, when a man is detached from his source, glory departs. Look at what happened in the garden. Everything was fine. God created them. He put them in the garden. Everything functioning fine. Until they put their hand in the sin. And when they did that, what happened? Glory departed. They lost color. You will not lose color in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your generations will not lose color in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's look at the word of God again. In the book of Malachi, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Malachi chapter 4, thank you, Jesus. Starting from verse 1, Malachi 4, starting from verse 1, he said, are we there?
Yes.
He said, for behold, the days is coming, burning like a fire pot. Hello? Are you still with me?
Yeah.
He said, and all the proud and every doer of wickedness shall be chaff. You know what's called chaff? You know when you are doing your harvest. You know, if you are familiar with the harvest of rice or any of the grain, you know, after bringing it, threshing the thing and removing it from the branches, they put them together and they blow them. Vroom, vroom, vroom. When they blow it, they remove the real thing. Maybe it is rice or guinea corn. The one that fell to the ground that you don't need is the chaff. And the chaff is useful for nothing. The only thing they can use it for is what is to burn it. Because it's a nuisance. If you don't take care of it on time and wind start blowing it, it can mess up the whole environment. And Bible is describing the ungodly like that. He said, for behold, the day is coming. He said, burning like a fire pot. He said, and all the proud. Who is the proud? The devil. It's a proud spirit. And those who are worshipping him, who have pitched their tent with him. He said, and every dweller of wickedness shall be charmed. He said, and the coming day will set them ablaze. Says what? Jehovah of hosts, or the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. He said, which will not leave roots or branches to them. That means they don't have any trace. He said, but to you, say to me. He said, but to you who fear my name, shall what? He said, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. And what? With healing. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, and you shall go out and what? I'm reading another version. Freeze like calves of the store. Thank you, Jesus. Let me go to King James Version so that it will be the same. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, in verse 3, he said, and you shall what? You shall tread down the wicked. Hallelujah. No, let's go back to 2 because I was reading from another version. It said, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise, what? With healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as what? As calf of the store. What does that mean? It means glory. You know the calf of the store? You know the Fulani people, when they were, or the cattle area, they normally carry their cattle around, and during the dry season, the rainy season, they don't have to walk far to get fresh grass to eat. They don't have to walk that far, so they will look healthy. But during the dry season, they will walk long to get water. They will walk long, trek long to get fresh grass to eat. And all the fat and all the flesh that they built up during the rain season, they will lose it. They will lose color. But here, God is saying, in the advanced world or more developed world, they don't waste their time taking their cow from Sokoto to Lagos. No. During the dry season, when the grass and it's no more available, they harvest them, the grass, and put them in the house. Hello? And put the cow there. So he doesn't have to worry for food. He wakes up, food. He's sleeping, food. Hallelujah. Amen. And God is saying to you here, he said that you shall go, he said, you shall go forth and you will grow up as calves of the store. It means that you will be growing without groaning. It means that you'll be making it without weeping. It means that you'll be enjoying supernatural health without becoming a specimen for the doctor. It means that before you ask for anything, it will be supplied in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. It means that before any needs arise, then the provision will be available in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That is the picture of Jesus for his church. But for this to happen, it takes his backing. It is not possible in the arm of the flesh. It is not something that you can manipulate and conjure together by your own ability or your own power. It is not a product of your connection to the president of your nation. It is not a product of connection to any man or any mortal man. It is as a result of divine backing. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 16. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Matthew 16, starting from 13. Thank you, Lord. He said, and coming unto the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he said, Jesus asked his disciples, saying, who do men say me to be? The Son of Man? Hallelujah. Let me also go to King James. Hallelujah to Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, and verse, starting from verse 13. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. He said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea in Philippi, he said, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the son of man, am? He asked them, say, who do you think I am? Who do you say? Because people have different kind of suggestion or opinion whom he was. Thank you, Jesus. And in verse 14, he said, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Remember, after, before that time, Jesus, John the Baptist was already there, was beheaded. He said, and some said, what, you are Elijah or Elias. And others said, you are Jeremiah. Jeremiah, that is, you are Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets. Hallelujah. So he asked them, say, who do you think I am? And he said, people started coming with all manner of opinions. Some say, oh, Jeremiah that died many years back has resurrected. Oh, this is John the Baptist. Oh, this is Elijah. But in verse 15, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Hallelujah. He said, in this verse, he said to them, but who do you say I am? He asked them, hallelujah. He said, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You got it. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, by Jonah. He said, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father. Now look at where we are going. In verse 18, he said, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he said, upon this revelation of the truth that I am Christ, I'm going to build my church. That Christ, the rock of offense, that he comes against the enemy, he will crush them. When the enemy tries to come against him, he will what? He will grind them into powder. He said, upon this revelation of the truth that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah. Now, he said, and I will give unto thee. No, let's go back to it. He said, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's simply saying that the church of Christ will be so powerful that every attempt from the pit of hell to prevail against it will be crushed. They will come against it in one way, and they will run in seven ways, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So he was saying to them that the church that he was going to build is not the church that's a weakling. It's not a church that can be scared by any devil. It's not a church that the devil can just can manipulate anyhow. He said, I myself will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. It means that the gates of hell will try to prevail, but they will fail in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every attempt of the gates of hell against your destiny, against your family, against your career, against your home, against your business, is crushed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, now, how will that happen? In verse 18, he said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
He's simply saying that I will give you the authority. I will empower you. I will give you all it takes to prevail against every satanic assault. What are we trying to say? Jesus was telling them that I will back you up. I will back you up. But what I want us to understand is that it takes the backing of God to prevail in life. It takes the backing of God to prevail over circumstances of life. It takes the backing of God to prevail over sickness. It takes the backing of God to prevail over weakness. It takes the backing of God to prevail over every negative wind. Because the devil does not wish anybody well. It's a wicked spirit. Thank you, Jesus Christ. But he has what? He has a scheme that he is always after. He knows that if the man can lose the backing of God, then he becomes a toy in his hand. And that's why he introduced what? Sin. He knows. Look at the man in the garden. He was in charge. Everything was working well. Just like Jesus spoke to Peter here, that whatsoever you bind here on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose here on earth shall be loose in heaven. Man was in control. He had dominion. Whatever he wants is what he was able to get. But once he broke the link, by committing sin or putting his hand into sin, he lost the contact with heaven. As a result of that, the devil took over. The devil will not take over your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Talking about the end time church, it is very clear, prophetically, it is said that the world will be full of the darkness, full of horror, gloomy days, full of backwardness, and all manner of negative things. But to the church of God will flourish and will abound in all good works in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. It's going to be the era of historic wealth conversion because the church will be empowered. Thank you, Jesus Christ. But I want us to understand this thing very well as we start to round up. Because when we talk about the issue of holiness, you know, when you don't understand what you start to gain from something, you will take it with all manner of levity. You will handle it carelessly. If you don't know what is waiting for you, it's just like somebody that knows that if he doesn't go to work and he starts giving excuses, you know, in Sweden, it's not like in some country whether if you go on your industrial action, they will still pay you at the end. In Sweden, you clock in. If you don't work, you won't get paid. Hallelujah. That's reality. So if you know that at the end of the month, you have to pay the bill, nobody will tell you, even if your body is doing somehow, you will jack it together. Say, body, you will carry me. You will go. Because you know what is waiting for you. If you understand what is waiting for you, if you live a holy life, you won't be begged to live, to give it all it takes, to hold on to God, to be empowered to live a holy life. Because when you don't live holy, when you don't live a sanctified life, you cannot enjoy divine backing. No matter how great you are, no matter how long you pray, no matter even how long you come to church, you stay in the church. You may be a worker in the church, you may be a pastor, you may be a pastor's wife, you may be a pastor, a pastor's friend. It doesn't even make any difference. What is important is living according to the word of God. So what is the picture that Jesus has painted about this church? Number one, the church of the end time shall be a unique church of strange order of strength. Hallelujah to Jesus. But we need to understand that we will enjoy strength in such a way that just like Samson, we'll be able to pull down every barrier. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
In Joel chapter 2. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Joel chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. In Joel chapter 2, starting from verse 1. He said, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Petuel, said, hear this, hallelujah, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. He said, He said, in chapter 2, he said, blow ye the trumpet. Are we there now?
Yeah.
Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. He said, let all inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is right at hand. Thank you, Jesus. He said, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. He said, as the morning spread upon the mountain, a great people and a strong, there has not been ever the like. Neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. He said, a fire devoured before them, and behind them a flame burning. Said, the land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. He said, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Talking about the great end-time church. He said, the appearance of them is their what? Is the appearance of horse. You know, when you see horse in the Bible, it signifies strength. The end-time church that you and I belong to, or the church of Christ that you and I belong to, is going to be a church of strength, order of strength, spiritual and body. But something that the devil can also do to disconnect us from that, just like Samson was susceptible to immorality, we need to be careful. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against thee. So the devil knows that once the church puts her hands or its hand in sin, he will lose that strength. Look at Samson. He was so powerful that he could remove the city gate. Imagine someone removing the gate of a whole city. and carrying it to the mountain. But a small Delilah turned him into a toy. No matter how big is it, look at some of us that have watched the movie Titanic. When the thing broke and water started coming in, what happened? No matter how great a vessel is, just make a small hole in it. It's just a matter of time. So when we are talking about the issue of holiness or living a sanctified life or avoiding sin, it is a very important thing because the devil knows that the church of Christ is a strong church, just like Samson, the picture of Samson, but it will take holiness. You will not end up in Delilah's like Samson, the martyr of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Samson lost out due to immorality. He sold his destiny. You will not share your destiny in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What are we talking about? Let's understand this one. So one of the attributes of the end time church is supernatural strength. But what? We need to beware of immorality. Number two, it's a church of superior wisdom and insight like Solomon. Superior what? Wisdom. Things that the world they are crying about. Just like I said at the beginning, nations are changing government. They are voting out government that are even performing well, and people are surprised. Why did they lose that election? Why? People want something, but they are looking for a change. Why? Because they think that, look, maybe if I try this one, it doesn't work, I go to another one. If that doesn't work, I go to another one. But we have to understand this reality. You don't have a spare life. You have only this one life. Imagine if you are going to be doing trial by error. You try this government, it doesn't work today. Try another one. What if it's a government that will come and waste people's life? He said, he's a church of superior wisdom and insight like Solomon, an epitome of such wisdom. He said, but it can be turned into foolishness by sin. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible talks about what? He said, through his church, he wants to manifest his manifold wisdom. We have used that scripture when we were dealing with about wisdom a few months ago. But despite the fact that God wants to show his wisdom or demonstrate his wisdom to the entire world, he said, to the intent that now unto the principalities and power in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. God wants to demonstrate his manifold wisdom, just like he used Solomon. But beware of what? Of sin. Look at it. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3, Solomon, he walked in the Lord. Bible says Solomon loved Jehovah. He loved the Lord. He walked in the statutes of the Lord, of David, of his father. That means he walked according to the word of God. He sacrificed. He worshipped God in every way. But if you read further down, in the same 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9 to 12, you will see that he made the sacrifice and asked for blessing from God, and God gave him that wisdom. But if you go down to chapter 11, let's read that one. 1 Kings 11, 1, 2 to 4. 1 Kings chapter 11. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You will see that Solomon, that was enjoying high level of divine wisdom, to the extent that even make judgment that they didn't have DNA test that time. And there were two women fighting about a woman, about a child. And they said, okay, how do we know? There was no laboratory that they could use to test any, to do any blood test. How do we know? Solomon's wisdom was so deep to the extent that he was able to sort out that case. You remember that case?
Yes.
Solomon's wisdom was so deep that people were coming from nations. You know, Queen of Sheba came all the way from Africa, from Ethiopia. She traveled to Israel to go and see the demonstration of the wisdom of God upon the life of Solomon. But look at what happened. In 1 Kings 11, starting from verse 1, he said, but King Solomon loved what?
Many strange women.
Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, and Ammonite, and Edomite, and Zidonite, and Hittite. These were the same tribe that God said, don't intermingle with them. Don't even talk them at all. Don't even eat with them. He started marrying from them. He put his hand into sin. What was the consequence? He said, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto this in love. You see, with all his level of wisdom, when he put his hand into sin and started walking against the word of God, and in verse 3, he said, and he has 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wife turned away his heart. Look at that. Say in verse 4, for it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wife turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, and was the heart, as was the heart of David his father. You see, with all his wisdom, once he put his hand into sin, what happened? His wisdom became corrupted by sin. So, we are talking about that the end time church, which you and I belong, we enjoy strange order of wisdom. Things that they are saying is not possible in your race, in your lineage. You will be doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. But we have to be careful. Beware. Beware. David said, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Solomon took the word of God from his heart. He filled it with the love for strange women, the Edomites. You remember when they asked Balak asked Balaam to go and curse them. He said, you can't curse them as long as iniquity was not found in Jacob. You see, why? As long as they decided to abide by that rule, they stay. But along the line, the guy said, I know how to catch them. Those same women that they say they should not marry, lose them into their camp. So they release those fine girls, the Edomites, this same set of people that Solomon started running after. And as a result of that, what happened? Israel opened up for. What I'm trying to talk about is that anything God said we should not do, you know, when a product makes a rule when a manufacturer makes a rule for his product, it is to protect the product, not to deny the product from enjoying the best. Hallelujah. Amen. The one that made your phone said, when you are going to the swimming pool, even though you know how to swim very well, you can swim like fish, remove your phone and put it outside first. Hello? Hello? You won't do like Penny. His phone dropped under the bed last week. And I said, Daddy, help me. I said, what that was? He said, okay, your phone. I picked it for him. And a few minutes after, I couldn't see him. Where is this boy? I saw him. I went to the toilet. He was doing good work there. He opened the tap. Started washing the phone. He started washing. I said, what are you doing? You are washing it because he gathered some dust under the bed. The manufacturer said, nee, mba. Hallelujah. But that's what some product, what you are doing for the product. The manufacturer said very clearly, he said, do not steal. He said, how would I not steal? He has a plenty bill to pay. I will steal. You spoil the product. Hallelujah. It is satanic trap. You know, just like the ox, or what was that thing called? Is it falcon? That thing that eats the chickens, the small one. The hawk. He cannot eat it when the mother hen is with her. They don't burn that. Because the mother hen will cover her like this. The only thing he will do is that he will just be walking behind and look for one careless one that will say, when the mama hen is going, say, mama hen is doing, I don't even understand. This same nice rice that fell on the ground, that doesn't want me to eat it, I will go and eat it. Mama is not smart. And he will depart. And hawk will say, free food. He will pick it. Hello? So that's what the devil is looking after. He wants you to come. He wants you to detach from God, from the Most High. He said, he that abides in the secret place of the Almighty. He wants you to leave the secret place of the Almighty so that you can catch God. He can eat you up. He will not succeed in eating you up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. What are we talking about? It's a very sensitive issue. Let's receive the grace not to put our hand into sin. Despite the level of wisdom upon this man, once he put his hand into sin, he lost color. You will not lose color in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a wealthy church. The end time church is a wealthy church, full of wealth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we have to be careful so that we will not start worshiping that wealth. We will not start. You go to some places now, they even rate you according to how much offering you can pay in the church. special chair. Oh, this one, and you know, it has gone to the extent in some countries there's even some thieves, politicians will steal money, and they will go to the church and they will still give them heroic welcome. Because the pastors and the people that are worshiping money. People want to build church, they will print bill and be and say, okay, yeah, I'm gonna give it to the member. Go everywhere, go to Alaji and say, Alaji, come and donate for church. Abomination. Hallelujah. He said, we have to be careful. The end time church is going to be a wealthy church, and it's already being displayed all over the world now. But we have to be careful, because the Bible made it very clear. It said, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the root of some of the evil. It's the root of all the evil. The love of money. So we have to put money where it belongs. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. We read that Malachi when it said that in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17, it said that, and they shall be mine, says Jehovah, or the Lord of hosts, for the day that I will make up my treasury, and I will pity them as a man has pity on his son who serves him, said, then you shall again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked. Thank you, Jesus Christ. So what are we talking about? Let's be careful so that we will not be deceived by the devil in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me just run through the remaining two so that we can stand up. So another point is that let's understand that the end time church that you and I belong will be an anointed church. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anointed means empowered. You know, sicknesses that they say, oh, it cannot be cured. You say, in Jesus' name, and it will go. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. See, the church of the end time that you and I belong will be so empowered, and we are already enjoying it. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is so much, because this is the day of the latter rain. He said, little one is the former rain and has passed. But the latter rain or the end time rain, God is going to open or tear open his heaven and pour the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and it's happening. Even in the time of Moses, what was the size of the church? Now we have churches that have 50,000, we have 20,000. In fact, some country, when you say your church is 2,000, you say, you're just starting. It's just a fellowship. Hallelujah. You see, it has never happened before. Not in history. Nowhere in the world has that kind of thing has happened. Great anointing of the Holy Ghost. He said, but the church will be the target of the devil. Songs of Solomon chapter 1. And in verse 3, it will be the target of the devil. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read that one. Songs of Solomon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Songs of Solomon is just after Proverbs here. In chapter 1, we have Ecclesiastes and Songs of Solomon. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In verse 3, he said, because of the savour of thy good ointment, thy name is as ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee. You know, naturally, anointing attracts women. Am I lying? Not women as just in physically, but it attracts people around you. It's just natural. And as the church of Christ is being enjoying the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the empowerment of God, the devil will come with subtlety. He pushed women to Samson to bring in them. He pushed women to Solomon to bring in them. What is the picture of the women in this end time? Things that we think, oh, these are the major things we're running after. Pride of life. Say, oh, I am the one. You go to a place, maybe you are a pastor, and they say, oh, here comes brother, so, you get angry. They say, with all my degree, I'm Reverend. It's easy. Or they say, oh, you have a PhD, and say, oh, here's brother, so, say, oh, you meet doctor, so. See, pride of life. Things that doesn't even make any difference. He said, the church has to be careful. so that the devil will not push us into sin in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the last one, he said, it's going to be an established church that will occupy the place that matters in the society. But that same church will be the focus of immorality. And it's happening now. Let's stand up. It will be the focus of immorality of high level. High level of immorality. If you see things that are happening right now in many places, high level of immoralities. Things happening. Scandal here and there. Somebody was telling us about the statistics of scandals, even in churches, in nations of the world. It's a cause for concern. It's a cause for concern. Why will it not happen? Carelessness. Hello? Why will it not happen? Last Sunday, we were talking about the trendy dress and mode of dressing now. You know, in the old time, when the cloth has a problem and it tears, even if you don't have what do you call that thing? Needle. You will go and borrow it and sew it. But now, they will use their money to buy the one that is already done. What is the focus? It's crazy jeans and it's crystallizing their life, if that English exists. Hallelujah. Because you know why? Let me tell you what the enemy is after. He knows that once people dip their hand into immorality, and it takes two to tango. Well, even when they're advertising for phone now, talking that has nothing to do with women or whatever, they will still put naked women there. Isn't it? Because they know that once you look at it, you give it a second look. Hello? And there is nothing that pollutes the environment of God like that. Look at the children of Samuel then. Look at the children of Eli. They started messing up and sleeping with the ladies in the temple. And the presence of God departed. They lost the ark. You will not lose the presence of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Things that you will put your hand in that will wreck your destiny, you will not be part of it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Because the Bible says that there is a way that seems good to a man, but the end of it is death. Oh, things are happening now. I want us to begin to pray right now. Lord, order my footstep. There are different businesses that people will call you for. And say, this thing is working. They have sugar-coated mouth. Some will even go and do voodoo, do juju to talk to you. Say, in fact, they will even give you statistics. And it's not even about juju alone. They will tell you that, this business, so person did it in this country, and this is statistic, and this is it. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a satanic trap. I want us to begin to pray, Lord, deliver me. Order my footsteps. That I will not take steps that will wreck my destiny. I will not take steps that will wreck my home. I will not take steps that will wreck my career. I will not be trapped by the devil. I will not be trapped by the devil. Deliver me, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Deliver me, O God. Deliver me, O God. Deliver me, O God. Deliver me, O Lord. Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Have mercy, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Have mercy, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You know, David was supposed to be right at the center of the war front there. As a king, he was supposed to lead the people to the war. But he looked for excuse. Say, my body is feeling somehow. Let me rest today. And as he was resting, he rested his career. He rested his lineage. If he was at the center of the war, he would not have time to look at a woman that was bathing, Bathsheba. So we need to be at the right place. And there are traps that the devil is setting here and there for people. But you will not fall into trap in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. This devil is busy setting up even trap for children. You see some people, they will say, my son or my daughter, everything was well with him. Not until he changed to this school, not until he changed to this place, not until he started working with this person. And they will start influencing them. and putting pressure on them and say, you know, it doesn't matter. Is it that your parents? What they are telling you is nonsense. So this is a major, this is a major thing right now. We are in a modern day. You are smarter. You know we are in the computer age. Don't listen to your daddy again. Oh, yes. And they will depart like you, like the prodigal son, and lose color. So every time people forget about their source, they lose color. I want us to pray and say, Lord, everything that will make me to depart from the source, everything that will pitch me against you, deliver me from it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Deliver me from it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Deliver me from anything that will pitch me against you, Lord. Anything that will make me to run against you, deliver me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your mercy prevail upon me. Let your mercy prevail upon me, Lord. Let your mercy prevail. I need your mercy, Lord. I need your mercy, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I need your mercy. I need your mercy, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when the mercy of God is upon a man, when he's just about to fall into that sin, he will just raise one angel. Maybe one friend is coming. And there's something that they want to take you to a place where trouble will happen. He will just send angel. Angel will keep him busy. Traffic on the road. Hallelujah. By the time he changes to another road, you are busy doing something else. Well, see, by the mercy of God, we can be preserved. You will be preserved in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your family will be preserved in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your lineage will be preserved in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Things that you will do that will wreck your destiny, you will not put your hand into it in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Words that you will say that will crash your home, you won't say it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Action that you will take that will crash your marriage, you won't do it, you won't take it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anything that will crash your destiny, you will not put your hand into it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And as for our children, we cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
The Lord will watch over them in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
They will not depart from the presence of God in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Lord, the grace to give attention to the word of God, we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, as we go on our journey this week to various places of work, to our schools, to different places that people will go, Bible said, he suffered no one to do them wrong, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. No evil befall us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are in the sanctuaries. We will not be found in the mortuary in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We will not go down the grave in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We will not be found in hospital bed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We shall not become a specimen for the devil in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This week, favor we answer in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The favor of the Lord rescued the destiny of Joseph. The favor of the Lord rescued the destiny of Daniel. The favor of the Lord rescued the destiny of the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they will have lost out if they had decided to follow that sinful way. But today we are celebrating, they're celebrating their God because they chose to live by the truth. And therefore we release afresh up in our camp the grace to stand for the truth in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We will not compromise in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We decree inner strength so that we will not compromise the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessed be your holy name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.